Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Hope you're doing well at the beginning of this new day. We're going to continue to talk today about the drama that Peter and the apostles were experiencing in their fight with the religious leaders that was unfolding as they went out to, in obedience to Jesus, to preach the gospel, to offer, as Peter said, repentance and forgiveness of sins for all of Israel. This is the gift that Jesus brought to the world. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God is the human condition. We've all inherited through original sin, the sin of Adam. We're a fallen race. We're a race that's separated from God. St. Paul said at one point in Ephesians, we lived without hope in the world. In particular, there he's referring to the Gentile world that had no connection with the promises of God or the Ten Commandments and the fathers, the patriarchs, and the rest. But that's the human condition. We were dead in our sins, as St. Paul said so boldly, but we have been made alive in Christ. And the way that happens is our sins have to be put to death. Our sins have to be united to the crucifixion of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has to cleanse us. He has to take away that sin. And that happens in being united to Jesus in baptism and in entering his church. And so this is what the apostles are taking right to the heart of Jerusalem. They're taking this message right to the religious leaders who have a different opinion about what really matters. And they're bringing the gospel, the good news. And part of that good news is the offer of the forgiveness of sins by proclaiming the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and then his proclaiming of the exaltation of Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And so what we see and what I'd like to focus on today is Peter's courage, the transformation that happened in Peter. Look at how confident he is standing before this very intimidating body of more than 70 leaders, probably somewhere between 70 and 100 leaders or so, something like that, who really could have him put to death. And they've beaten him. They are commanding them. They're going to try to marginalize him. And Peter knows that it's a fight that's probably going to lead to his death. Why does he know that? Because Jesus told him. And why does he stand confident? Because he's not surprised at all about what's happening. Because the Lord told him it would happen. It's unfolding just like Jesus said it would. And he's standing there confident because he's with his brothers. But his confidence is in the Lord. And he knows that the Holy Spirit has been given to him. He's experienced a life-changing experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit that happened to him on the day of Pentecost. And he was given power, a new power and a new capacity to literally be a new man in Christ. And so the last time he saw the Sanhedrin, probably, or the most dramatic time, last time was when Jesus was standing before them and Peter was standing at a distance and he was running and he was denying him and he was being caught up in the crazy vortex of darkness that was spinning around him. But here he is now standing peacefully, confidently, knowing exactly what to say because he's being helped by God. It's a beautiful thing to see. And what he sees and what he made clear at one point was that God has exalted Jesus, the Father. What does that mean? That he's ascended to the right hand of the Father in his human flesh, the second person of the Trinity returning home to the Father. But he comes home bringing with him this race of people, you and me, human flesh. He's the second Adam who now is fulfilling the destiny that Adam failed and taking it far beyond where Adam could ever have taken it. We're being reunited to God in Jesus. He's the pathway. He's the only way. He's the surgeon that comes to do the heart surgery and give us a new heart and a new capacity to love and fulfill the commandment. He's the one who now has brought human flesh into the glorious presence of God. And that's the pathway to salvation. Salvation isn't just making a decision for Jesus here. It's the beginning of it, baptism, right? But salvation is the completion, is our entering into each one of us individually and then corporately the body of Christ, entering into the glorious presence of God our Father and sharing in the exalted existence, the glorious existence of Jesus. That's our destiny. And that happens. And it's interesting, this reading from Peter that we've been looking at all week, was given to us last Sunday. And the same day, the same reading, the second reading was taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, a book that through which you can understand the entire Bible. It's the culmination. It's what the coming of Jesus is all about. And here's a few verses from it. Now, this is a scene where John, who received a vision from the Lord, the vision of the seven churches, the vision of the Lord, who's the Alpha and the Omega, whose eyes like flaming fire, hair white as wool, he got a glimpse of the glory and majesty of Jesus. And it totally wiped him out. He was on the ground, trembling, shaking, and Jesus came over to him and touched him and said, "Fear not, I'm the Alpha and the Omega." He has the keys of death and Hades. He has power over life and death. Only Jesus does. So John's vision goes on, and he's taken up into the holy place before the holy, holy, holy God, before God the Father. And there are four creatures and 24 elders and things that I don't have time to explain them all to you, but suffice it to say, it's the holy presence of God. And it's the setup in the kingdom there where in the holy place, in the real holy of holies, there are elders and there are angels and others who are worshiping God day and night. They're overwhelmed and living in ecstasy, really, in the presence of the wonder and the beauty and the majesty of God. And so this is the reading that we're given. It says, "I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Worthy is he, worthy is the Lamb, excuse me, that was slain, to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and everything in the universe cry out, 'To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might, forever and ever.' The four living creatures answered, 'Amen,' and the elders fell down and they worshiped." There's a lot in it. I think maybe next week, I'll take a closer look at who are the four living creatures, the 24 elders and those. But today, the main thing I just want to talk about is what they're crying out, because they ask the question, "In the right hand of Almighty God and God the Father, the Holy One, was a scroll with seven seals." And that scroll really is the story of God. It's a story of history. It's a story of God's plan, God's purpose, God's economy. And it's the story of where and how it's all going to end. And the cry went out the heaven, and it shook the heavens. Who can open this scroll? Who's worthy? Who has the authority? Who's won the right to open this scroll for us and be the one who finally brings human history to its proper end? Who has the authority? And John saw then a lamb who had been slain. Slain means like a slaughtered animal or a human being whose violence had been done against. A lamb who had been slain. He stood in front of God the Father, the Holy One, this lamb. And he was both a lion and he was a lamb. He was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Messiah. He's the one that fulfills all the messianic anticipation of Israel, all the promises. And he is a great lion with great power, but he's also the lamb. And he conquered with humility, with love, with mercy, with patience, with truth. He became a sacrifice for our sin. And finally, there was one born of a woman who gave to God what belongs to God, who was faithful to the end. And the Father gave over the scroll to the Lamb. And the Lamb was worshipped. And they all fell down, the elders and the great angels and the mighty and the powerful. Friends, if we saw even a small angel, or, you know, a mighty angel like St. Michael, we would be completely undone. If we saw the full glory of Michael, the archangel, we would think he was God. We would shake and tremble and hit the ground. We'd be overwhelmed. We would do anything to be in right relationship with him. We'd give up everything in order, anything to be in right relationship with him because of how mighty and powerful he is, so far beyond the biggest, most powerful thing, you know, this world has ever seen. But he's like nothing compared to God. God's not just another power in the world. God is God. God is beyond it all. God is beyond our wildest imagination. And the devil's just a fallen angel. He's not God. He's not equal to God. He's not even remotely close to being equal to God. All power and authority belong to God. And now it's shared with Jesus. And we see, to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing, honor, glory, and might forever and ever. This is the fulfillment of what it means to be human, to make this cry, to live this life, to make this offering, to enter into this life with God in praise. And, you know, frankly, a lot of people don't want it. They say, why should I? I don't want to spend all my time worshiping God, or I don't want to spend all my time thinking about somebody other than me. I want what I want. I want to have fun. I want it all to be about me. That's what I want. So I don't want to get too serious about following God. And the four living creatures fall on the ground saying, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. They worshiped. And they give Jesus worship. The heavens give Jesus worship. And the earth is meant to give Jesus worship. It's interesting, the catechism, I was thinking today, reminds us, you know, when Peter's preaching was so clear, Jesus ascended. And Jesus has all authority. So I've read some of these recently. I'm going to read them again. Paragraph 668 from the Catechism, Christ died and lived again that he might be Lord of the dead and of the living. That's taken right from the words of St. Paul in Romans. Jesus died and rose again for what purpose, you can ask? So that he would be Lord of the dead and the living. He's Lord. He has all authority. And the question is he your Lord? Is he really enthroned in your heart, as Peter put it? Are you radically abandoned to him? Are you like Paul said, you know, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, the life I now live. I live by faith in the Son of God. I belong to God. I belong to Christ. I'm living for him. Is that where you are? Because that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Christ's ascension into heaven signifies this participation in humanity and God's power and authority. Jesus Christ is Lord. He possesses all power in heaven and on earth, and he's far above all rule and authority. He is the Lord of the cosmos and of history. Your history, my history, all of human history is in the hands of Jesus, and he will be the judge of it all. That's just a big deal, friends. That's as big as it gets, right? Though already present, 671, in his church, Christ's reign is nevertheless to be fulfilled with power and glory when the king returns. The king is going to return. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet Jesus? As Bob Dylan said at one point, are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you where you ought to be? Will he knows you when he sees you? Or will he say, depart from me? Are you ready? Are you ready for the great trial that's unfolding now? Here's the test. Here's why I'm talking about this stuff. We are entering a level of trial and testing the country has never seen in relationship to the church and the battle with the world. It's here. It's already begun to unfold. The purification that's happening in the church is a sign, a prefiguring of what's coming. Friends, we've got to be ready. And we've got to stand. We've got to see the lion and the lamb. We've got to be united to him. And we have to be faithful in the power of the Spirit in the moment of testing. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.